Well, good morning, everyone. I sure hope you're doing well. And I hope that you all were as blessed as I was to hear the great story of how the Lord is using Puerto and Navalette in Haiti. That was a little bit egotistical of my part, as I shared last week. You know, that was all about me, how I've been blessed listening to that story. And I was blessed again to hear it again, and hopefully it was the same for you. Today is the second part of a series I began 2 weeks ago on Old Testament backgrounds. And those of you who, regardless of whether you were or not here, today summarizing where we were, because we didn't have that break. We began our discussion by focusing on the event of the resurrection. And in particular, we looked at Luke chapter 24 and a conversation that happened between our risen Lord and two disciples who were apparently deep in conversation as they were moving towards a place called Emmaus. And I want us to begin by reading that text again and focusing on what I believe is a key, if not the greatest key, to unlocking the deepest truths that have been revealed in the Old Testament. I'm going to pick it up in verse 13. Again, this is Luke chapter 24, or Lucas in Spanish. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" The irony of that statement. "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, indeed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself.'" Now, this passage, if you really think about it, is like the very first Bible study that Jesus taught right after the resurrection. That must have been an awesome moment. We read a little bit later in that same passage that Jesus actually then appeared to the rest of the disciples, who are also amazed at what has happened. Even though, as we know, many times he had already described to them exactly what to expect. All of these people are amazed. They are beside themselves. They can't believe what has happened. And there in verse 44, we hear Jesus again, now to the entire disciples. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." The reason I'm going to focus on the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms is because we need to know that by the first century, when Jesus is speaking these words, and this would have been true of everyone in the society in Israel, also true of the time of the apostles and all of the authors of the New Testament, the way people spoke normally about what we today call the Old Testament, all of it was encapsulated in those three words. The entire Old Testament was defined as a three-section scripture. And it was known as the Law of Moses, which is basically the Pentateuch, the Prophets, which includes the Minor and the Lesser and the Greater, right? That's one way that they were described. And then the Psalms, okay? So whenever you're reading the New Testament, the Law of Moses, the Prophets, and the Psalms, it's really talking about what we call the Old Testament. And Jesus is explaining to them that his death, burial, and resurrection was absolutely necessary to understand all of the scriptures. And so that's why I decided to begin our conversation with Jesus. Okay?
The Psalms include all the wisdom literature?
Yes, the wisdom literature, the Psalms.
It's referred to as the
yes,
Psalms.
They were kind of bunched together. Later on, probably next week, we're going to actually look at the collections of the Old Testament, right? And how they were divided at that time. But yes, you're right. And so I concluded our time together. We broke into groups to discuss the implications of the resurrection in our life. But I actually said this, and I'm going to repeat it again. I believe that because of who Christ proved himself to be through his death, burial, and resurrection, the event of the resurrection is the central historical fact which allows us believers to know and experience the fullness of God's revelation concerning his own nature and his divine program for all of humanity. I'm going to repeat that. Because of who Christ proved himself to be through his death, burial, and resurrection, the event of the resurrection is the central historical fact which allows us believers to know and experience the fullness of God's revelation concerning his own nature and his divine program for all of humanity. And so when we look into the Old Testament, we need to keep that in the back of our minds. Now, does this mean that we cannot read the Old Testament profitably, as some pagans quite honestly do? Because we all know the Old Testament has been read with great pleasure by many people throughout the millennia. People have learned wisdom from them. They have learned beauty from the Psalms, and all of the scriptures have been inspirational. In fact, probably about 3 months ago, for the first time, we went to Washington, D.C. I was there because our two boys, you know, there was a trip to Washington, D.C. I went there with them in their Christian private school where they were at the time. And one of the museums we visited was the Museum of the Bible. I don't know how many of you have been there. Anybody here have been there? Yeah. It's actually a great museum. I highly recommend visiting it if you're ever in Washington, D.C. But one thing that I found very interesting is how many of the expositions had to do with the way the Bible has inspired people apart from faith, right? But we are Christians. We're actually trying to look at the text with faith and grow in our faith. And I'm saying that the most important historical event that has occurred that allows us to tap into the deepest meaning of the Old Testament is acknowledging the resurrection of Christ and the power of that moment. And there are practical implications of that. And that's why we broke into our discussion group. We wanted to discuss what the resurrection has meant to us throughout the years and how the practical consequences of that in our individual lives. So what I want us to do today, here in a few minutes, we're going to break into groups, which, by the way, I don't know how many of you know this, but I began teaching this week formally as a middle school Spanish teacher for the first time ever. Yeah. Yes. So please pray for me. It was a good week. I have no complaints. You know, everything that you would expect it to be, with the good and the bad, the ups and downs, it was there. I'm fine. I'm fine, really.
I'm fine.
This is in the Richardson School District, Westwood Junior High, which works out perfectly because one of our daughters, who just started middle school, goes to the same school. So that has been an extra special, sweet time for us to, you know, commute to and fro. I am teaching her. And I will say, she is super excited, and she thinks this is the greatest thing that has ever happened to her in her entire education. But the scariest moment all week long for me was facing her in her classroom. I kept thinking, she's going to be massively let down when she's in front of me. She's made it up so big in her head, it's like, I'm not going to be able to do that, you know? Anyways, so far, so good, but of course, it's a long year. Anyways, one of the things that the learning curve is huge for me, because again, this is my first time doing this, first time teaching middle school, trying to figure all of that out. One of the things that I immediately, when I was creating my lesson plans, I became very aware of that I was lacking in my style of teaching is that I don't have a tendency in my teaching style to give projects. But projects are a huge thing, apparently, for middle schoolers, and especially if you're teaching them for 1.5 hours. All of my classes are 1.5 hours long. So I quickly learned that you have to have things for them to do, you know, because you're not going to be able to stand up there for 1.5 hours and keep their attention, right? So I started thinking, what can I do to start practicing, you know, the excuse me?
Are we your guinea pigs?
Yes, you are. So I thought this week I'm gonna make them do something and see how it works out. So here in a bit we're gonna break out into groups, and I want you all to analyze a passage. Here's what I want us to look at. Each group will look at the passage that you have in front of you, and you will analyze what the passage is saying about Christ, particularly with regards to his role in creation. Okay? Let me remind you what Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Okay? That's a very well-known passage. What I did was I picked two passages from the New Testament which describe Jesus. And I want us to look at this passage again and try to see what Jesus' role in creation was. Because what we're trying to learn is getting ourselves into the habit of seeing what the Old Testament potentially is telling us about Christ and what Christ is telling us about the Old Testament. Does that make sense to you all? All right, so The two passages are Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That's one passage. And the other one is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And I think these two passages don't just talk about Jesus and his role in creation, but I think it's very interesting that both authors open their books this way. So we looked at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, the description of the beginning of creation. And then Hebrews chapter 1 through 4 and John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 also talk about creation in some way or another. So, I don't know how many books we can do. I think we can do 1, 2, 3, 4. We can do 4 groups. And what I would like for us to do, we're going to look at it for about 10 minutes. And then maybe somebody, you can choose a leader from your group who's going to come to the front and share what the group said.
Is this for a grade?
Yes. So, do your best,
Chuck.
You will not be allowed in class next week. And you will fail.